Welcome to Vascular Stories, the medical podcast on vascular disease. In this podcast, we'll speak of acute complications of chronic venous disease. Chronic venous disease, CVD, is a prevalent and multifaceted medical condition affecting the venous system, particularly the veins of the lower extremities. It encompasses a spectrum of venous disorders, ranging from mild cosmetic concerns to severe and debilitating conditions. This podcast aims to provide an overview of acute complications of CVD. Today, I want to introduce you to Dr. Deborah Karatova, Outpatient Department Head at Internal Medicine for Cardiology and Angiology at Charles University, General University Hospital in Prague, President of the Czech Angiology Society. Good morning, Dr. Karatova.
Good morning.
Dr. Karatova, what is the difference between chronic venous disease and chronic venous insufficiency?
Chronic venous disease, so-called CVD, describes a broad spectrum of conditions which is characterized by venous hypertension. It's occurring predominantly on the lower extremities, and it's specifically defined as any morphological or functional abnormality of the venous system of long duration manifested by symptoms and signs indicating the need for investigation and care. The term chronic venous insufficiency, CVI, includes the most severe manifestations such as edema, skin changes, or leg ulcers. It's undeniable that CVD represents one of the most frequent vascular diseases in the world, entailing an important burden for the individual, but also for the healthcare systems.
How is the venous system impacted by CVD?
From a histological perspective, veins are composed of three layers, tunica intima, tunica media, and adventitia or outer layer, which is important because it's composed by connective tissue, which with an important development of elastic fibers, giving the vessel an important support and elasticity. In the case of varicose vein, however, the normal structure of the vein is altered with prominent changes in the thickness and composition of the venous wall. And in addition, veins present venous veils. They are bicuspid prolongations from the venous tissue, essential to maintain the blood flow in the proper direction, impeding venous reflex. Furthermore, different muscle pumps act coordinately with the venous veils to assure the unidirectional blood flow.
Which are the main signs of CVD?
Varicose veins are the most common manifestation. Other venous signs include telangiectasias on reticular veins, and the common sign is also peripheral edema of venous origin, and then different skin changes like pigmentation or even ulceration in the most advanced stages.
Which are the risk factors for CVD?
In the pathophysiology, the interplay between genetics and environmental factors are responsible for increasing the ambulatory venous pressure, leading to substantial changes in the whole structure and functioning of the venous system. And these risk factors can be grouped into modifiable and non-modifiable categories. Non-modifiable are age, especially because incidence of CVD increases with age due to venous wall and veil degeneration. We also have some genetic predisposition. Having the first degree relative with varicose vein, it raises the risk. Female sex is important because women are more likely to develop CVD, especially after multiple pregnancies due to hormonal effects on veins, and in some cases also congenital venous malformation like syndrome Klippel-Trenau. But it's important to stress that we have also modifiable or lifestyle associated risk factors, that is prolonged standing or sitting. So some occupations which requiring long periods of immobility can impede venous return. And important is also the lack of muscle contractions, worsening stasis. Second modifiable is obesity, because it increases intra-abdominal pressure and reduces venous tone. Third one is pregnancy, its physiological state, but due to increased blood volume and hormonal changes and uterine pressure on pelvic veins also has some influence, negative one, to involvement of varices. And lack of physical activity, because sedentary lifestyle reduces effectiveness of the calf muscle pump, while regular walking and leg movement promote venous return. So many of these risk factors are interrelated, and they tend to evolve some sort or some form of chronic venous disease.
How significant is this medical condition? What are the different forms of the disease?
It's really a common disorder, and the estimated prevalence of CVD of all forms ranges to 60%, although this data may be highly heterogeneous depending on the population studied. For example, according to Edinburgh vein study, one in three patients developed this advanced form, this chronic venous insufficiency from the initial varicose vein diagnosis after about 13 years. To accurately identify individual cases and distinguish the severity of their condition, we use the CEAP classification.
Which are the most common diagnosis methods?
Regarding diagnosis methods used, the main one is color duplex ultrasound. Nowadays, the most used investigational or clinical examination has replaced the rest of diagnostic techniques because of being non-invasive, reproducible, easy to use, and is essential to conduct a proper management of the patient. The use of other procedures such as platysmography might be useful, but they are not so important. Also, computed tomography, venography, or magnetic resonance flebography are valuable techniques, although they are normally reserved only for a very complex type of cases.
And what would you recommend as initial management approach?
Initial therapy often involves such measures as compression, elevation, exercise, gait training, everything to optimize the venous pump and to promote the problem of gravitation and improve the return of the blood. It is important to recommend to all patients with CVD such regimen strategies consisting of increasing exercise and limiting prolonged standing, sitting, reducing weight if necessary, and also doing frequent elevation of the limbs during the day, which are essential in all phases of CVD. And then we have also such important therapeutical therapies like compression, pharmacological treatment. But compression stockings are for some patients not easy to use, but they should be recommended as the first conservative measure. But CVD can also be treated pharmacologically through various venoactive agents. These compounds aim to decrease vascular permeability and ameliorating the inflammatory response, may increase vascular tone and operate on platelet aggregation maybe. They range from saponins, flavonoids, micronized purified fractions of flavonoids, extracts from different herbs, two drugs reserved for especially healing of venous ulcers.
Thank you so much, Dr. Karatova. We really appreciate your contribution.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure for me as well.
You listen to Vascular Stories, the medical podcast on vascular disease. You can download the script and the audio file at www.vascular.alphasigma.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, continue following us. This podcast has been produced with the support of Alpha Sigma.